in November 2005, Doug McRoberts and I went to Israel to spy out the land, so to speak. I've told you some of that story before, and how we really sensed that God was calling us to get involved with bringing the gospel to Israel. We didn't know how that was going to be, and so a few of us took a trip over there. And we met with four different pastors who minister in Israel. And one of the greatest blessings that we had was to have dinner with Steve in Tiberias. It's always great to have dinner in Tiberias. But it was just a real blessing to be there. And we knew after meeting with Steve and also with Stephen Apple that these were men and ministries that God was connecting our hearts and this body with. And so you know the rest of the story. For the last 3 years, 2.5, 3 years, we've had 4 or 5, I've lost count now, trips over to Israel to minister. We always spend time with the Flores family and their work up in the Golan and in Tiberias. It's a real blessing to have them with us again. I know Steve was here last February, and now their whole family. So Steve, his wife Irina, Anastasia, their daughter who's 18 and going, she just graduated high school in the spring and is going into the IDF. It's mandatory military service in Israel. She'll be going in early February, right? And then also Josiah, their 7-year-old son. So I would really like you to welcome Steve Flores as he comes to teach this morning.
I was told I'm up against a football game today. But that's okay. I don't think there's really any better place to be than in the house of God gathered with his people to hear the words that the Lord desires to speak to us in these difficult days in which we live. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we want to thank you for your everlasting presence in our life. We thank you that you are here today and every day to minister unto us, to lead us and to guide us into your good and your perfect will, into those preordained steps in which you've placed before us. Lord, we ask now that you would give us ears to hear you, minds to be able to understand you, and hearts to be able to receive the word in which you have so graciously given us, that it might be hidden in our hearts that we would not sin against you, and the empowerment of your Spirit that we might live in accordance to your word, that we might truly be the people and the light to this dark world in which we live, in which you've called us and anointed us to be. So Lord, teach us this day. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things in your word. We pray this by Hashem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. As John said, we live up in the Golan Heights, and we've lived there now for 5 years. Prior to that, we were living in Jerusalem for around a little over four years. So we've been in ministry in Israel now for a little over 9 years. It truly is amazing the places God will take you in this life as you seek to join him in what he is doing. It's not any coincidence that each and every one of you is in this room today. As you're seeking the Lord has brought you here, and the Lord desires to speak into your hearts and into your lives today by the power of his Spirit and his word, which is living and powerful. My heart, our family's heart for Israel, it was the same as we see of the Apostle Paul. In Romans 10:1, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God and for Israel is that they may be saved." You see, our hearts and our desire is to become all things to all men that we might win a few. And this takes time. It takes time when you go into the mission field. It's exciting to hear you have young people going out in the field, others preparing to go. But in reality, the minute we walk out our front door or the door of this church, we're entering into a mission field. There are many people outside of these doors that do not know the Lord Yeshua as their Messiah. So as we live in Israel, We seek to minister to the Jewish people because that's who we live among. I'm married to a Jewess from the former Soviet Union. It's very natural for us to reach out to the immigrants because my wife is an immigrant. We reach out to the Russian-speaking people and have a Russian congregation. But I, coming from California, please don't hold that against me. I actually like the East Coast better, I got to tell you. And we also reach out to the American immigrants. We have an English-speaking congregation. And we're able, because we know the culture, we know the language, we're able to be used by God to reach them. But yet there are so many other Sabras, native-born Israelis, that we desire to reach. And this is why we are training up our children. Our children are growing up in the culture, growing up with the language, going to the military, fighting alongside. Of course, my daughter will not fight in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm. She'll probably work in an office. But yet, it's still as important to stand with the people so that they will see how much you care before they want to know how much you know. They care how much you know. So we're preparing our children. And I believe that's in the heart of each and every person in this room, to be used by God to reach this lost world. So as we seek to reach them, in Israel on Shabbat, on Saturday, everything basically closes. And even the secular will usually attend the synagogue, at least occasionally. And they're reading in the synagogue. They go through the Tanakh. The Tanakh is the Torah, the first five books. Nevi'im, the prophets. And Ketuvim, the writings. And they're going through this, and they have a thing called the Parasha Shavua. It's a part of the reading of the week, and they have a half-Torah portion from the writings, from the prophets as well. So I taught through that for 1 year. We went, we followed alongside so that we would be able to have a common ground to be able to minister to them. And I cannot tell you how often God used that to open doors in conversation, just on every day, going through everyday experiences of life. So we came to the end, and I actually went through it for 2 years because it's 3-4 chapters. So I taught the first chapter in it, and the next year I chopped the second chapter in it. And my plans were to continue like that. But the Lord said, no, I want you to move forward. I want you to go into the book of Joshua because I want you to enter in to some of the rest and the fullness that I have for you and for the people of Israel. And I remember I had prepared to teach Joshua chapter 1, and I was early in the morning. I'd gotten up and I went back to bed to lay there and to pray, and because it was cold and it was warmer in my house, in my bed, and I started to pray. And I said, Lord, I know that in the Torah, the name of the book, which comes from the first verse of every book, is the theme. What is the theme of the book of Joshua? The first book we call Genesis, but it's Bereshit, the beginning. And then you go to the second book, Exodus, and it's Shemot. Means names. You see, in the beginning, we have the beginning of creation. We have the beginning of sin. We have the beginning of the plan of redemption. We have the beginning of a call of a man called to walk by faith. We have the beginning of a family which turns into a nation. And when we get to the book of names, of Exodus, we focus upon the action, the exiting, the deliverance. And it's a wonderful thing. But the emphasis from a Jewish perspective, from a Hebrew mindset, as important as the actions and the things that God does in our lives, what's the most important is you and me. We are the reason why he does what he does, because of his love for us. And then we get to the book of Leviticus, and it's Vayikra. It means to be called. You see, a lot of times we think, oh, we're not the Levitical priesthood, but yet we know it tells us that we are the royal priesthood. It was God calling Moses to speak to him that he might speak to the people. The words of God. And I believe that that calling is upon each and every one of our lives. The Lord told us to go forth and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He told us to go to all nations, all people. Then we get to the book of Numbers, which is literally Bamidbar, which means the wilderness. Why did God take him out to the wilderness? Maybe somebody in this room feels they're in the wilderness, that there's a barrenness in your life, like the children of Israel felt. And they longed to go back. They longed for their prosperity, even in slavery, with the little they had. But God took them out there, not to destroy them, but to speak to them. And that's the very next book, Deuteronomy. It's Davarim. It means words. God took them out to the wilderness so that they might consecrate themselves, that he might speak to them, that he might give them the teachings and the instructions that lead to life. So now I get to the book of Joshua. Well, his name in Hebrew is Yehoshua. His name means God is salvation. He's pointing to someone other than himself. Even as much as he was used by God and the lives of God's people, yet he's still pointing to another. And I was laying there and I put all this together and I grabbed this little piece of paper next to my bed and I started to write. And I saw something so simple that I've overlooked for so many years. And I put it together, just the first five books of the Bible and then the book of Joshua, which just happens to be in the Hebrew Bible, the first book of the prophets. So what was the first thing God wanted to speak to the nation through the prophets? And I wrote down, in the beginning, God knew your name, Shemot. He called you to the wilderness to consecrate you because he desired to speak words with you. And what were the words he desired to speak? That God is salvation. You see, at the very beginning, there's such a simple gospel message. That's right there. As I was asking God, how can I relate to your people? You know, every Jewish person I've shared this with has never seen it before either. And it makes them think. It makes them ask God. And I believe what the Word of God says, that if they ask or if they seek, if they knock, they shall receive. It shall be opened up to them. The knowledge of who the God of salvation truly is. But as Hebrews chapter 4 tells us, Joshua, Yehoshua was speaking of someone greater than himself, a rest greater than he was able to provide. And we know that to be Yeshua. The name Yeshua means salvation. So when he came on the scene, with his name was saying, I am the salvation of the people of Israel. I am the one who can provide the rest and the victory that you so desire. That was even spoken about in the Tanakh that you've been longing for. You know, the people of Israel in the book of Joshua are preparing to enter into their promised land. Now, I don't know how many of you in this room are Jewish. And probably the majority are not. And many of you are not preparing to enter in, or as us, have already entered in. But each and every one of us has entered into a new year. And just like when the children of Israel entered into the promised land, they faced many challenges, but also many opportunities. And I believe that this year holds many challenges for people in this room, for me, but also many opportunities as we walk in accordance to God's word by faith. You see, we see in the book of Joshua, in chapter 2, They send the spies out. And they go. And they end up at this woman's house named Rahab. Now in chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, we read. Now this is Rahab speaking. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and when you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven, above, and on earth. It's interesting because when the children of Israel, or the children of God, when we walk in faith in accordance to the word of God, then we are the light, the witness that God has called us to be. And the result being, as Hebrews tells us, by faith, Rahab hid those spies. By faith, Rahab and her house was saved. And that's true in our lives. But you know, we soon forget, don't we? We soon forget about what God has done. And God knows that. God knows that. And as we go through, we see that they're going to cross the Jordan River. It's going to take a step of faith in crossing the Jordan in chapter 3. And after they cross in chapter 4 of Joshua, in verses 8 and 9, it says to the tells them, and the children of Israel did so. So they're doing just as Joshua commanded them. They took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. And he carried them over with them to the place where they were lodged, and he laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there to this day. Now I find this interesting because God knows how quickly we forget. So he calls the children, he instructs the children of Israel to take stones from the very place where he did a miraculous work in their lives. As they followed the instructions of God and they took that step of faith, and the priest put their foot into the Jordan River, and the river stopped and heaped up all the way back to Adams. We have a bridge called Adams today. You know, it's about a 45-minute drive from where they crossed over. God is working so far ahead of us. If we will just take that step of faith, we will see. And they walk across on dry ground, and they get these stones, and they set them up on the west bank of the Jordan River. But not only did they set them up where they would be able to see them at Gilgal, which would be the point in which they would go and conquer the land, and they would be able to receive encouragement as they're looking at the walls of Jericho, and they'd be able to remember and look back and say, yes, our God is a God of miracles, which gives me enough faith to continue to take steps of faith as he's guiding today. But they also put them in the midst of the river. And it tells us that the river, after they all crossed over and the ark finally was brought onto the west bank of the river, that the river came back and overflowed its banks once again. These stones were covered with water. They were not visible to the eye. But maybe some of you today are facing difficult times. Maybe someone in here's life feels like there's a drought. There's no provision. That's why God had those stones set up in the middle of that river. So that when everything was depleted, you would be able to see, yes, I don't have anything. Everything's been taken away. Yet, but I can see, I can remember the power of God in my life, how God has always provided. I remember what he did in the past, and he is the same God today that he was yesterday, and he'll be the same God tomorrow. And it will give you the courage, it'll give you the faith, the ability to take the next step of faith. You see, because God was going to have them take another step of faith, and that was to enter into the covenant of circumcision. Now, we know what happened to Shechem when two sons, Simeon and Levi, went into the city after 3 days after the men circumcised themselves, and just two men were able to take two swords and destroy a whole city because of the condition that these men were in. But yet, after crossing, God calls his children into this covenant. I'm thinking, why? I mean, doesn't it make more sense to do it on the other side of the river when you have safety of the river? We like safety, don't we? We like to have something between us and any difficulty. We like to be in a comfortable place when God calls us to take steps of faith. But yet God called them to cross over the river. And then when they were in eyeshot of their enemy, when the enemy knew they were in the land, to put themselves in the most vulnerable position that they could, that God might develop their faith. You see, he didn't put him in that position. He doesn't have you in the position you're in today to destroy you, but to strengthen your faith for that which he desires to do tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. He desires to do great things, but it's going to take faith. And when we totally trust, he puts us in a place where we cannot provide for yourself. Maybe you've lost your job. You can't provide for yourself. You cannot protect yourself. You have nowhere to turn, no one to trust, but God. And God himself. And he's going to show himself to be strong on your behalf. He's going to reveal to you who he is and who you are because of his love for you. Then he was going to call them after they were healed to walk around the city of Jericho. Not one day, not two, but seven. He wanted to teach them, and he wants to teach us that it's a day by day by day walk of faith that he desires to work into our lives. As they walked around, the Ark of the Covenant was central to the people. That's where the victory lies. Not looking at the walls, but keeping our eyes upon the Lord and just taking the steps, no matter how it goes against our own common sense, our own understanding, but leaning upon him, trusting that he's going to direct our paths, that he's going to bring things to pass, that he will bring down the walls that stand before us and that which he desires to give us, whether it be the land of inheritance or the fullness of the abundant life in which he's promised us. God knows that we need encouragement. He knew that they needed encouragement. As a matter of fact, even before they entered in, he had Moshe, encourage them. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. In verse 1, we'll read 1 through 4. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you. He allowed you to hunger, and he fed you with manna, which is not known, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that the man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments, they didn't wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. See, God, through his servant, was calling his people to remember his faithfulness, to remember his presence, his provision in their lives. And we think, oh, how easy. They had a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. They saw the plagues. They saw the Red Sea open. They saw the water, bitter water turn sweet. But you know, it was only a matter of around 6 weeks when all their provisions failed that they started to murmur. And God provided the manna. Maybe your provisions are failing. Maybe they're depleted. Maybe your stocks, maybe your job, maybe your money in the bank is dwindling down. You're getting nervous. It's a tough place to be. I know. But God is not bringing you there to destroy you. But he's bringing you there to test you. He's bringing you there to strengthen your faith. He's bringing you there because he wants to speak to you. You see, he brought them to the wilderness, which in Hebrew, as I stated before, is the Midbar. But in Hebrew, we don't have vowels. So we have two words that are spelt identical. One is Midbar, and the second one is Medaber, to speak. And this is why God brought them to that point, because he wanted to speak words of life to them. He wanted to prepare them to enter into the fullness he had for them. And the things that they had stood in the way to what God wanted to do. And they murmured. We murmur. Because there was too much of the world still in their hearts. See, they wanted to cling to those things in which they had, rather than to receive the things God had for them. Because that takes faith. The other didn't. And God had to strip those things away from them in order for them to be able to receive the greater things God had for them. It's a hard thing. But when we come to understand the love that God has for us and the things that he wants to give us, it's a little easier. We can rejoice. We can learn to rejoice. We can learn to be expectant when things are starting to get difficult. We can cry out to God. And we can ask him, God, what is it you desire to speak to me? What is it you desire? Where is it you desire to lead me? You desire to do a new thing in my life. Something new. Something fresh. Something that's going to cause me to be the light that you desire for me to be. The place where you want me to be. And God will speak to your heart. And God will lead you. And you will see the miracles. You will see the walls come down. You will see the doors open. You will see that the Lord is with you. But it's a hard place. I know it is. But it's so interesting because it's at that point when they were walking that Rahab saw, that Rahab heard, that Rahab came to faith. Not only her, but her whole family was saved. And isn't that our heart? As I began, our heart, our desire, and our prayer is that all of Israel would be saved. And if it means God has to strip things from my life, that they might come to know him, I say, please, do it. But please do it gently. Slowly. One time the Lord spoke to me and told me he was going to strip me bare. And I was nervous. And I said, okay, God, I trust your love for me. But can you do it slowly, please? Can you cause me to adjust my life to what you want to do? Can you give me the desires? Because your word tells me that I'm to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. But it's you who's going to cause me to will and to do. You see? As we join God in what he desires to do in our lives, we're going to see great things and people coming to faith. We're going to see other people wanting to join in. Wanting to be the light which God has anointed us to be. I think this year is going to be a difficult year for America. But not only America, the whole world. God is calling us to a place. Why? I believe it's here in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. Let's go down and start. Verse 11. And we're going to finish with this. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, when you have built beautiful houses and you dwell in them, And when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and that you have is multiplied, all you have is multiplied. And when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, whom led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions, a thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your father did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good in the end. You see, that's the end result of all these difficulties, all this testing. He desires to do good. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand had gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish as the nations which the Lord destroys before you. You shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. You know, I read the news because I pray for America. We pray for America. And I see, when I come back outside of the church, an America I do not recognize. I come home, and I don't recognize my own country. Truly, the love of many has grown cold. I noticed that a couple years ago. After 9/11, America was never the same. Maybe you don't notice it, but I did. I see what the homosexual agenda and a lot of the church, for the most part, being silent. I see what is good being called evil and evil being called good. I see a nation that was founded upon godly principles, that recognized that it was God who brought us the wealth and the provisions and the greatness of this country, now thinking that she's done it by her democracy, her armies, and her stock market. And I see the Lord bringing a chastening to the country and to the whole world. But we as a people, as God is speaking to the nation of Israel, and God brought judgment to the nation of Israel, God always had the remnant. God always had a light. God always had a hope for his people. And you are that hope. You are that remnant. May you walk by faith in accordance to the word of God. May you realize that all the difficulties that you are enduring or will endure in these next few years are for your good. But not only for your good, but that others might be saved as they see God in your lives in the midst of the difficulty. As they see that you have peace, you have joy, and you have a hope, and a hope that will not disappoint. As they see that, they will be drawn to our God. They will come to faith like Rahab. And all their houses will be saved. That's God's heart. May we join God in what he's doing today. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your presence in our lives. And Lord, that through all of these difficulties, you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. Lord, that you're only bringing us to a place in which you desire to speak to us. You desire to reveal yourself to us in a new way, that you might reveal the steps that you have for us, that we might truly fulfill the calling upon our lives, that we might always remember you are faithful. We can place our faith in you. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. We pray, Lord, for the anointing and the ability, Lord, to be the light, to be the salt in which you've called us to be, to be the witness that many would be saved. We ask this, Be'eshem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus, our Christ. Amen.
Let's all stand up together. Sing, I know you're with me.
And I know you're with me. I know you're here. I love your presence as I draw near.